Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 236, stanzas 1 and 2. By all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside, matchless, thy works abide, for thou art God. 1 and 2 of 236. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians chapter 3. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world, without end. Amen. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Petro Vendriel, who hopes to travel to Africa this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient God, in heaven above. Thou who art the witness, may it not be a silent witness of all that has taken place in this morning hour, and of which we may gather to reflect upon in this afternoon. Thou who knowest the hearts of all men, whether we have come to that table or whether we have remained in our seats, Thou knowest the heart of each and every one, and how it is now also after all things are done. Lord, we ask that Thou may go with us, and that Thou may remember us in the confession that each one of us has made in this morning hour. When there has been a church rite, then what we have done, what our action was, that is a testimony of what we wish to declare. And Lord, Thou knowest those for whom this is a burden. There are those who, for whom there are yet so many riddles and so many questions in their life, that I would look upon them further in this day and in the time to come, and that Thou may give clarity also over their own case, which is known to Thee, and though it is so hidden from them. And Thou art not bound to time, to place, to institutions. Thou art so free, and Thou art able to give a blessing wherein man does not expect it. Could it please Thee also then to use Thy word in this afternoon hour for the encouragement of those that are distressed? And may it be for the instruction of those who are gone out of the way and who walk in a way of hypocrisy. For our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that we then may not be given over to ourselves to walk our whole life in such a way, but that we may be given to seek Thee in truth and in uprightness as Thou wilt be sought. Wilt Thou look upon us when it is the fact, the reality of our life, that we are as Gallio and that we care for none of these things? Lord, Thou knowest us also then, and there is none that is outside of Thy reach, of Thy power, of Thy word, of Thy providence. Oh, Thou art able, and Thou hast so many means whereby Thou art able to stop a sinner upon his way and to bring us to true conversion. Oh, that Thou may look upon us then even in the remainder of this day, and that Thou may bless Thy word to such an end. Strengthen Thy own people in that most holy faith in which they have not given unto themselves, in which they feel over and over again the impossibility to bring into exercise, but which Thou dost help therein, in this holy supper and in other ways as we have heard. Lord, that Thou may supply to Thy church, that I may be led from strength to strength, that they may increase in the knowledge of self and in the knowledge and the need for Thee, and that in the end, that they may be saved as a sinner, then we must increase and thou must we must decrease and thou must increase. Lord, that it may be experienced in their life that they do not grow even with the great blessings bestowed upon them, but that they may be given to come in the dust again of self-abasement, and that with all thy blessings, that true humility may be evident in the life of thy true church. Lord, so look upon each and every one in the needs and in the cares of this life and of another life, that the things of this world may not have the preeminence, especially on this thy holy day, but that the things and the need of the soul may have precedence, and that thou may give us another hour, that we may be separated from all the things, the cares of this world, and that we may be given to meditate upon thy holy word, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. But wilt thou look upon our natural needs also, each one in the circumstance of his life here below? Wilt thou supply for all that are in distress of mind and of body? Supply for all those who have become old, and all those who miss their loved ones, all those that mourn, widows, widowers, and orphans, all those that are separated from husbands or wives or children. Lord, may thou work love where it is so impossible from the side of men so often. But there is nothing that is too hard or too wonderful for thee, and that thou may supply then in all the needs and cares of this life, the young people, the children, our school, and all those that labor therein. Bless the means that are used in the midst of us as congregations in this area, and thy servant who may serve also in the neighboring congregations. Lord, go before all thy truly sent servants, and wilt thou call more servants into thy vineyard, and that also in the time to come, that we may be gladdened with thy deeds, when thy work may become evident. Remember our rulers and all those that labor on our behalf, also those that are at warfare. Lord, supply in the dangerous ways in which they are day by day. And may they find a refuge in thee for time and for eternity. Lord, wilt thou look upon each and every one of us in this afternoon, then be together with us in thy house. Oh, visit us with thy spirit and with thy grace in speaking and in listening, and that we may say that it was good to be here, and that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory in truth. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 111, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock He set my feet, and steadfast made my way. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter 111, the first three stanzas. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. How busy, congregation, is our life. That was so also with the life of the Lord Jesus and with his disciples. And we read that they had no leisure so much as even to be able to take their natural food. What a blessing is the Sabbath day. A day when we may separate ourselves for a little while. Although there are many of you that have necessary labors to do also on the Sabbath day. And yet, also in the service of the house of the Lord, and that we may come together and that we may rest a while from all the labors that are in this life. So that is also with the Holy Supper of the Lord for that true church of God, that it is for them to be a little Elim, it is for them to be a little rest upon their journey through this life, that they may receive again a little strengthening of that faith, whereby they are upheld in the wilderness of this life and on a journey to their long home. But after that there is some rest, then it is necessary that we arise and that we go forward. That is, that we are going into the future. This is not our final rest. It is not the final rest for the true people of the Lord. And therefore, the Lord Jesus, he is also speaking to his disciples about the future. And this we wish to consider together in an hour of reflection in this afternoon from the Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter, John 14, thereof verses 12, 13, and 14. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So far, the words of our text. The works of Christ after his humiliation. First, the magnitude of these works. And second, the means by which these works shall be wrought. The works of Christ after his humiliation. First, the magnitude of these works. And second, the means whereby these works shall be wrought. Because I go unto my Father. That is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks to his disciples about what is coming. He says that there is going to be a separation after his suffering, his death, his resurrection. What a sad time for the disciples. And they have heard from the Lord Jesus that there is a suffering coming. They do not understand what is lying before Christ, their master. They do not understand the way that is lying before themselves. They realize that this is going to be a very difficult way. And then afterwards, after the Lord has suffered, then the Lord Jesus tells them that he is going to go away from them, that there is going to be a separation. Thus, Thus, there is another grief which the disciples must carry in their hearts, because I go unto my Father. And now it is in this sad time, and it is amidst all of these very sad circumstances for his church, that the Lord Jesus will also give his disciples an encouragement. Thus he is not only speaking about being separated from them, but he also speaks about how that he is going to remain with them. Thus he says that he is going to be experienced by them in the future in a different way than he has been experienced in the time that is lying behind them. That he is going to be experienced in a spiritual way and not in a physical way. Thus, the Lord Jesus is looking back into the past. He reflects with his disciples how that it has been with them now in these 3 years that are gone by. And he looks into the future, how that it will be for them in the time that is lying before them. And these two, the Lord Jesus is comparing, he is laying one over against the other. Thus, also our work in an hour of reflection. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Thus, the Lord Jesus, children, he speaks about works. Well, we know the Lord Jesus has done many works when he was on the earth. And now the Lord Jesus says that he is going to leave the earth. Thus, those precious works which they have seen, those precious works that were for the disciples, the testimony of the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may know and that they may feel that he is one with his Father, that they may believe not only his words, but they may believe even for the sake of his works. Then what shall happen to them? What shall happen to this token of the divinity of Christ when he shall be separated from them? Will they then be missing then this most precious testimony, which was a help unto them for that weak faith that they were not able to bring into exercise of themselves? Thus, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says that these works which you have seen, they are not going to cease after that I am gone. No, he says, it is going to be just the opposite. He says that these works are going to increase. Well then, how is that possible, young people? We know that those works of Christ, they were a testimony that he was the Son of God. That was difficult for that people to believe. This man who they saw not with a halo around his head, as we see pictures, therefore we ought not to have pictures of him. We do not know what he looked like, but he looked like a man like you and me. And now, this man, he was God. How did they know that he was God? Well, because of these works. Then they have a testimony. And now the Lord Jesus says that his disciples, he is going to be gone, and his disciples, they are going to work these same works. How is it then that the Lord Jesus is distinguished by these works when also his disciples, the apostles, they are going to work miracles even as the Lord Jesus did? Well, the Lord Jesus, he tells how that this may be. It is not going to take anything away from his divinity. But he says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Thus, it is not the disciples that are going to do these works. No, but it is the Lord himself, the disciples, they shall have to ask for these works to be done. I will do it, he says. How then shall these others, these apostles, do these works of Christ? How shall they do the same works as the Son of God? They shall do them by faith. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What are these works? What are these works that the Lord Jesus is here speaking of? What are the works which he has performed on the earth? When the Lord Jesus with his disciples is looking back now for a moment in these 3 years and speaking about the works which he has done and the works that they also shall do, what are then these works? Well, children, with the Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has done the work of creation. That was the triune God, who has created the whole world. And that is the triune God, who is also the God of providence in this world, watching over, caring for, continuing in its existence, and directing to a certain end everything that is being done in this world. Thus also the works of Christ. Are they the works the Lord Jesus is speaking about? These works also shall ye do? No, because the work of creation, and that is already finished. We know that the Lord Jesus did a very special work. What was his special work? His special work was that of redemption. His special work was that of paying the price for his church. His special work was that of suffering and dying. His special work was that of an active and a passive obedience that he may stand as a substitute for his church. Are they the works that the Lord Jesus is speaking of to his disciples? And that these works they would also do? No. That is impossible. What a comfort for that true church of God. And that work of Christ, which he has merited for his church, that need be done only once. That justice of God has been satisfied through the payment of this price. And that people, they have no more work to do for the salvation of their own soul. No, these are also not the works that the Lord Jesus speaks about. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Thus, what works are these? They are two in kind. They are his miraculous works and his gracious works, his works of grace. Thus first, his miraculous works. The miraculous works of Christ were indeed proofs of his divinity, and they were also pictures. They were symbols. That which he has done for the natural man, and that he would give this same thing for the spiritual man. When he has raised the dead, that was a picture of the quickening of the new life. When he has healed the sick, and when he has cleansed the lepers, oh, then we have a beautiful picture of the sanctification of the sinner, as so that all of his pollution that is completely washed away. And now the Lord Jesus has given these pictures, the Lord Jesus has given these symbols in his natural life. And now the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, I go unto my Father. Will those miracles cease then? No. No, those miracles will not cease. The disciples also are going to continue to do these same miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Well, the apostles, of course, stood in a very special time. The apostles stood in the change of the dispensations, that is, in the building up of that new testamentical church. Thus, as it was difficult for that people to believe that Christ in his human nature was indeed the Son of God, so it was also very difficult for that people in that world to believe that the apostles, they were sent by God. And thus, when the Lord will establish his new testamentical church in this world in an ecclesiastical form, and then he will also give special works to be done by his disciples, that they may be known, that they may be distinguished from all other men in this world as those who are truly the apostles, the servants of the Most High God, and the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why they are endued with power, that they may do miracles. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Thus, the apostles, they are going to do greater works even than the Lord Jesus Christ. And greater works than these shall he do. In what respect shall the work of the apostles be greater than the works of the Lord Jesus Christ? They will be greater in number. Because the apostles were more in number, and they will labor for more than just 3 years in this world. They will also be greater in kind. We read how that they speak with new tongues. They take up serpents and deadly things. They do not harm them. They may drink deadly things, and those things will not hurt them, and so on. Thus, these proofs of the divinity of Christ, they are even going to be greater in the state of his exaltation than they were in the state of his humiliation. Did he touch men? Did men touch him in his garment and so were healed? Did he speak only by a word? Speak a word and so men were cured of diseases in this world? Or even greater works then we can read how that it is even just the shadow of Peter. And when that shadow of Peter was passing by, that the people, they would not even ask him to lay hands on them. No, they would only place their sick in the way, so that the shadow of Peter, when it would be passing over them, may give forth that power of the Lord to heal them. Then there would be handkerchiefs, cloths, taken from the body of the Apostle Paul, that would be brought and they would be laid upon those that were sick in this world, and they would be healed. Thus, the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ in healing with his and through his apostles, they will be greater in the state of his exaltation than were in the state of his humiliation. But there will also even be greater works than these. And what shall they be? They shall be the works that he will work in the realm of grace. The miracles of the apostles are also going to cease, because with the apostleship, the works that Christ worked through the apostles will also come to an end. Those works are not done, those same miracles are not done anymore by the ordinary servants of the Lord in this world. Thus, what will these greater works be in that realm of grace? They will be the successes upon the ministry of that Word of God. There are going to be greater works that are going to be done in the hearts of men. There is going to be a much greater ingathering of that true church of God after that the Lord Jesus would leave his apostles and his servants. They themselves will be the instruments in the hand of the Lord to carry on this work. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Thus he will be a light unto the Gentiles. That work of the healing of the souls of men, that work of bringing men to true conversion, that work of raising the dead to give spiritual life from that spiritual death, that work of salvation from sin, of delivering from the greatest evil and bringing unto the highest good, that work of granting of the righteousness of the Lord to the souls of sinful men, this great work that is going to be evident in the life of the future servants of the Lord. Thus, the fruits of the work of the ministry that was instituted by Christ in this world, those fruits are going to be greater in the state of his exaltation and then in the state of his humiliation. We know that Christ was a minister unto those of the circumcision, and Christ himself, though he had the ability to teach as great prophet, to bring that truth into the heart of a person, then we see that there were so few who were brought in as the fruit of his ministry while he was here on the earth. How often did he not himself complain about the hardness of the hearts of men under his ministry? But what does he say unto his disciples? And greater works shall ye do. And so we see, after that he has left the state of his humiliation, and that he has entered into that state of his exaltation, then we see how that Spirit of the Lord has gone out in such a great measure, and with such strength and power, that 3,000 upon one sermon are converted unto the Lord in Jerusalem. Or we see that the apostles, and they are but simple fishermen, but they are used as instruments in the hand of the Lord to set up the kingdom of God in this world. Verily, verily, truly, truly, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. But our second thought, that is the means by which these works will be wrought. Because I go unto my Father. Thus, the Lord Jesus will not have the opportunity to perform these works in person. He is going to perform these works through his servants. But what congregation is miserable man? Also, the servants of the Lord, but a robber of the honor and the glory of the Lord. Those of the true servants of the Lord that the Lord is going to use to the building up of his kingdom, the Lord is also going to make, to understand, to feel, to experience that this is not their work, but that this is his work. That greater works shall he do himself through their hands. That is not an easy lesson for God's servants, because of that flesh that likes to rise so high and that likes to take credit unto itself. We hear that in the disciples. We feel that also ourselves. Thus, that is not an easy thing. How will the Lord give his disciples, how will the Lord give his servants then to know and to experience that it is not their work, but that it is his work? Well, they shall have to ask him. And they shall not have to ask him one time, but they shall have to ask him time and again, that they may feel, that they may experience that helplessness in themselves to continue on and to give any fruit upon their own work. Therefore, what does the Lord Jesus say? And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you remember, boys and girls, the devil that the disciples tried to cast out and they were not able? That was not easy for them. Around them stood the mockers, the Pharisees, the scribes. And they have commanded that devil, but that devil did not come out. Thus, they're all laughing. And what did the Lord Jesus say? The disciples asked him, how is it that we could not cast him out? This kind, he says, cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. When the Lord Jesus was with his disciples on the earth, we know his disciples have asked him so many things. He was always there. They could ask him what they will. He gave them instruction. He taught them. Now physically he is going away. And it is going to be a different life. They will experience him in a different manner. But what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, you may still ask. Just as if I were here. Thus prayer, that is the communing of the church unto God and unto Christ. At the Lord's Supper, there is a communing of Christ and the Father through him unto the church. There is a special word, there is a special message that the Lord will give unto his own church. When he is absent through his servants, then he will speak unto his people. But what does he say also? That his people may speak unto him. When he is absent, that they may speak unto him just as if he is present. If ye will ask anything in my name, I will do it. Does that give the people of the Lord liberty to ask whatever that their flesh desires in the name of Christ, and expect that such a prayer will be answered? No, it does not. The prayer that must be in accordance with his will. James says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss to consume it upon your lusts. Thus, this asking that the Lord Jesus is speaking about, that is an asking that the Lord will fulfill his own word, that the Lord will fulfill that thing which he himself has promised, that thing which he himself has spoken. And what is it that the Lord has spoken? What is it that the Lord has promised? That is two things. The gathering of his church and the care, the protection of his church. This he says, when you will ask for this, I will do it. Why is it that they must ask for this when he has already promised this? All that is, so that that church may receive the blessing of the Lord through supplication. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, he says, to do it for them. I will increase you with men as a flock. Thus he is not only a prayer hearing, a prayer answering God, but also a prayer giving God. And the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord is going to be experienced in that life of that church. Why? Because this is the way that the Lord receives his glory. When he may answer the cry of that needy church, and the glory of his name, and the glory of the name of his Father, that is his final end, that is his final purpose. He will not receive glory from the dead. He is going to receive glory
from the living, church? Will he also receive that glory from us? Let us sing first. Psalter 431, the fourth stanza. Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth, believing. This my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. Stanza 4 of Psalter 431.
Congregation, it is an hour of reflection. This morning, the Lord's Supper that was administered in the midst of us, and that is now a very serious matter. Because therein, we consider how it is between God and our own soul. We have made in this morning a confession. How that is with us. What kind of a confession? Confession about our need for a mediator. Whether there is in our heart any desire that we may return into that communion with our Maker. Whether there is in our heart any place for him who is sent of the Father, that he may bring us into communion with our Maker. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. That confession that was made in the midst of the congregation. But that confession that was made above all before an all-knowing God. And now we have to go forward. That supper that is finished once again for a season. And this Lord's Day that is now also coming to a close. So we will go on. And the question is now how? How are we going to go forward when we look back and reflect? And when we look forward, how shall it now be? There are many of you that have in this morning remained in your seats. It is not the same with you all. Because for some, religion that is form, that is custom only. There is nothing that goes out of your heart and that goes out unto this true and this living God. The Lord Jesus, he says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And that makes no impression on you. Why not? Because you have nothing to ask. You do not desire anything. Your desire is only with the things of this world. That is sufficient for you. And for that you do not need to ask him, because that you have, as you think, all from your own power. You do not think about your soul. The thought of death you put far away from you. If you become seriously sick, yes, then you pray. Then you become a little religious. Then you have a little fear. All religion then is a little bit useful for you. But as soon as you become better again, then you go on just as you have gone before. You are dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. There is no spiritual life. There is not a cry. There is not a desire. There is not a sigh that goes out after your Maker, your Creator, the true, the living God. There is but one hope for you, and that is that the Lord, by the power of his Holy Spirit, would overpower you, that you may receive life from above. That is your only hope. That is a powerful hope, because he is God, and he has shown his power when he was in this world. He has shown his power over him that holds you in his power. Who is that? Satan. He holds you in that power of death so that your affections, so that your desires, so that your will that is only upon the things that are natural, upon the things that are of this life, upon all the things that are passing away, he deceives you. But Christ has shown his power over him when he bruised his head, when he has paid the price for the sin of the people who had rebelled against God. And when death itself could not hold him, and he arose from the dead, then he has defied all the power of the prince of darkness to hold man in that state of death. And therefore, there will be many that will resurrect and that will be quickened unto a spiritual life because of his death. All one hope for you. A powerful hope. But there are also means that the Lord is using for this. He is using the preaching of his word. And thus, if you will give us but half an ear, when you will come to sit under the preaching of the word, then we will still, when the Lord will give it, we will still preach unto you.
your danger, your state of death, and that life that is to be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. But could we also move you? Could we also move you even to half a prayer? Oh, to pray in earnest in your dead state that the Lord may give you life. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. To ask for true conversion that is according to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are also many of you who do pray. And even if it is just in a natural way, just in an outward way, there are many of you that have a concern for the need of your soul. Your conscience speaks because you have sinned and you do sin. Sometimes your affections, they are also stirred. Or you fear to die and you want to be saved. And so, yes, you do pray. You say, how is it then with me? How is it with my soul? How is it between God and my soul? I do not know. It can still go one of two ways. There are some that have felt as much as you. There are some that have wept many tears. There are some that experience joy in the house of the Lord. There are some that experienced sorrow for sin. And it has just been like a dark cloud that has no rain. Promised much, and it delivered nothing. Then there were others. They also had as much of you as you, and it was the beginning of the work of the Lord. It was a long way because the Lord, he has so much to strip away from a person. Now we wish to speak to you a little word of encouragement that you may continue with that work of supplication unto the Lord. Oh, that you would not let him go except that he himself would bless you. Oh, that work of Christ. Christ says there will be greater works in the state of his exaltation than in the state of his humiliation. That more will be gathered in. Oh, may you not then lay this word before the Lord. Oh, to say to the Lord, oh Lord, it is thy own word, and greater works shall they do. Here, Lord, am I also. Oh, may I also be an object of thy mercy, of thy long suffering, an object of thy grace. Oh, do you say you are too hard? Are you too cold? Are you too old? Are you too sinful? Does it seem from your side to be too impossible on earth? What did he do? He cured the sick. Those that were blind and could not see, he opened their eyes. Those that were deaf in their ears and could not hear, he opened their ears and gave them to hear. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. Do you need a greater work than this? Do you say yes? Do you say if the Lord would convert me, that would be a greater work than all this? What does the Lord Jesus say? And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. Oh, the power that Christ will show his divinity after that he has left this world, that is going to be greater than when he was in this world. And how will he do it? He is not going to do this by some great means in this world. No, he is going to use the weakest means to fulfill his will. Or his weak servants who can but stammer of the spiritual and heavenly things. Do not then despise their word for its weakness. His word. Oh, do you say, when you read his word, how shall this ever be for my true conversion? How shall there ever be power to be experienced out of these words? And yet this is his promise. To use that which in itself is weak and not able to do anything. Oh, what has Christ promised? He has promised to hear that supplication that is in his name. Why? That the Father, he says, may be glorified in the Son. Oh, that is now the purpose, the end of the Lord. He cannot do it for any other reason. And for this reason, he is able to do it unto those who do not deserve it. Oh, seek then to come unto this foundation, because him will the Father receive. Him has the Father received. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, do not let him go then, except he bless you. There are also those congregation that have come unto that table of the Lord. And how shall you go forward? If we deceive ourselves, that is something we do not know, then we are actually honest with ourselves, but we make a great mistake. Thus, if we deceive ourselves, oh, may the Lord himself undeceive us. But therefore, it is necessary that we are always involved in the reading, in the studying, and asking over that word of the Lord. But now, hypocrisy is different than self-deceit. There is something conscious in hypocrisy. Even though it may be just a little bit, but in hypocrisy there is something conscious That is, even if it is that I am not completely upright. What did the Lord Jesus say? Verily, verily. Truly, truly. That ought to make us feel something of the solemnity of his own words. He doubles it over. And when there is hypocrisy, that will make us to feel somewhat uneasy. Because what does hypocrisy have to do with truth? Truly, truly. And his all-searching eye that is going to seek it out, the Lord then give us a repentance in a day of grace. But how now will that true church of God continue? We read here that the Lord Jesus, he speaks to Philip. And then he speaks to all of the disciples. He says the word ye, and that is plural, all of his disciples. And then the Lord Jesus says, he that believeth on me. Thus, he speaks to his church, that is, to the end of the world. Even in the last time. What does he say? Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it. That includes also the care of his own church. And prayer. That is now that special means that the church of God may experience in their own life the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer. The special means that the church may experience that Christ is divine, that he also still lives. Thus, if then they feel something of his absence, then they will send many petitions up to him where he is. But it is his divine power that is manifested in the answer of the cries and the supplications of his church here below. And this is what is to the glory of the Lord and to the comfort of his church. Oh, may the Lord give you then that close life with him. On your knees, in your own secret chamber, that you may experience from time to time the deity, the divinity, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you may be a testimony. That your mouth may also speak of that power in the midst of this world. That others may hear it. Until that this is not needed anymore. Until that he fulfills that promise which he has himself spoken. In my house, in my Father's house, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy word, it is the work of thy church to cry to thee. O give them then to experience that thou art alive, in answer to all their supplications. Lord, that we may experience it here also in this church. Amidst our own flock, that thou livest, and that that divine power, that it may go forth from thee through us as a weak instrument in thy hand. Lord, that thou may raise the dead, so many, and that had to remain in their place. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for them, and that thou would come out of thy sovereign good pleasure, and that thou may give life where there is none. Be with us in the week to come. Keep us in the rest of this day from sinning against thee and one another. Help us in the labors of our hands, each one in our place. Be with us. And when we hope to gather with the male members in this week, wilt thou forgive all that is sinful? Remember him that labors in the other part of our congregation in this afternoon and in this evening. Remember also her that hopes to travel in the week that is to come. She will be away from her family. Lord, care for her and them together, and bring back at thy appointed time in safety. Help each one of us with our labors in this world. Prosper our way, if it is not to our soul's detriment, and have dealings with our soul, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
239, stanzas 1 and 2, Zion, on the holy hills. God thy maker loves thee well. All thy courts his presence fills. He delights in thee to dwell. Wondrous shall thy glory be, city blessed of God the Lord. Nations shall be born in thee, unto life from death restored. 1 and 2 of 239.
Holy. yourself will make me strong. Then in song and joyful mirth shall thy ransomed sons
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Let the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.